Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line covers the Saints for the Times-Picayune Baton Rouge Morning Advocate, Matt Paris. Matt, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Matt, question right off the bat, because we've seen this offseason is really, for the most part, been built around Tyler Shuck. And while I asked the question, I heard an interview with Drake May a couple of days ago, and he talked about from year one to year two, he said, I was so worried about what I had to do in year one, you know, and he said that year two, it was different because I knew what I had to do for the most part, but also knew what everybody else had to do. You look at Tyler Shuck, you see everything they've done in this offseason, if it's to go out, get David Edwards and Achane at running back and use most of your early round picks on giving him additional offensive weapons at wide receiver and tight end. It's built around Tyler Shuck. So I know it's pajamas and slippers, but your thoughts on day one and watching him, his timing skills, and how comfortable he was in comparison to maybe last year where he was still worried about what he had to do every play.
Oh yeah, it was night and day compared to last year. I mean, just in terms of, you know, the Saints only run 7-on-7s really this time of year. When they do 11-on-11, it's just like a slow-paced walkthrough. But in 7-on-7, the ball was coming out much faster. You know, last year, Shuck would often kind of take off and run and try and, you know, be a little bit more mobile, which, you know, you don't really want to do in a 7-on-7 because there's no pass rush. So he was firing off the ball with confidence, really getting to his reads fast, and kind of just having this overall poise that, you know, the Saints have probably a pretty big leadership need, just given DeMario Davis and a few other important voices lead. And you can really tell that Shuck is trying to kind of step into that role and embrace being the quarterback, the leader of this team. And I think that was on full display today.
We saw for the first time, and I was telling this to Charlie, that's going to change, that slot cover corner. And Jonas Sankus got the call up for the first look by the media with it. But we're going to see Julian Blackman in that position, Quincy Riley, who knows who else is going to play that. But Jonas Sankus, and I know he got praised by Brandon Staley last year for his intelligence, how quickly he can pick things up. That would not be a shock unless they go out and get someone else, that Sankus ends up being that guy in the slot position.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they turned to Sankus initially was really reflective of the type of rookie season that he had. You know, he was able to show them that he was able to hold up in coverage at a high level. And that's something that Sankus was telling us today in the locker room, is that for that position, you have to really be able to hold up in coverage. You have to be able to tackle as well. And I think he provides a nice blend of both of those. And I like Sankus in that spot relative to Julian Blackman, just because I think with Julian Blackman, there's such an injury concern. You don't know if he's going to hold up over the course of the season. And so if he doesn't, then you're kind of scrambling at the last minute to try and fill it. I think by giving Sankus the first look there, someone younger, someone healthier, then you can kind of teach him the ropes and have him grow throughout the course of the year.
Well, it didn't take long, Matt. As soon as Kellen Moore finished his press conference and made the comment about Jordan Tyson, we started getting the text. Oh, man. But you understand, and I was talking to Dr. David Elias from Ortho LA about it, and he said a lot of times, Mike, it's diagnosing exactly what maybe triggered the hamstring injury and maybe what happened afterwards on the rehab. And he said, I think really that's the most difficult part. Sometimes it's your diet. And sometimes it's also making sure, he said, you know, when you come off a major knee injury like he had, there is some residual. You walk different. And listen, I went through knee replacements, so I can tell you, you walk differently. Your gait's differently. Your jumping ability is differently. And sometimes, you know, it might be maybe your hip is a little bit tight. Sometimes it's your lower back with the muscles there. the Saints taking it easy with them. Yeah, I'm not concerned about what he does in the OTAs in May and in June. I'm worried about him being healthy for the start of the season in September. But I think diagnosing exactly what kind of triggered this, I think, is the key for his success in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that they have to monitor. I mean, the Saints are real cautious with their guys this time of year. I mean, they're seeing that also with, you know, second round defensive lineman Christian Miller. He hasn't practiced since being drafted by the Saints. Lorenzo Styles is being nursed along slowly after his shoulder surgery from last year. And so, you know, they're really bringing these guys along slowly. I think the thing with Tyson that alarming is too strong of a word, but it's worth monitoring, is that when he was drafted, there was expressed some confidence that his hamstring was in a much better place, that he'd be ready to go. And yet, you know, he's been on this maintenance plan. They brought him along very slowly. Now, that's just also how the Saints tend to operate. But at the same time, I think, you know, yes, you have to get him healthy for September, but also in July and August, you really want him to start practicing so he doesn't fall behind. And, you know, when a bulk of the offense is in, you know, you want him to be up to speed that way. So I think there is some, I don't know, urgency to get him on the field during that time of the year. But right now they can afford to be cautious and play this along slowly.
It's been a, maybe the term, awkward offseason for the Saints and Alvin Kamara. No surprise that he didn't show up today. He wasn't at the OTAs. He's always sort of trained on his own, done his own thing. But, man, hasn't it been a really awkward spot between the Saints and Alvin Kamara? And I'll ask you, do you expect Alvin Kamara will be on this team in 2026?
I don't. I don't say that as, like, I know for sure he's going to be cut, and I'm just, like, reading the tea. Like, I just, you know, by now, you know, they've had all weeks and months even to work out a pay cut if they want him to take a pay cut. You know, that's something that maybe could have been negotiated by now. And technically, you could say the opposite. You could say that they could have easily cut him by now. But for whatever reason, they're slow playing this. I'll be interested to see what happens once June 1st rolls around. That's kind of the next maybe date along all of this. I mean, they could have cut him and released him as opposed to my designation. So there's nothing been stopping this. But for whatever reason, I just think, you know, with signing Travis Etienne and having some other young running backs in the room, I think they can afford to cut him. But will they? I don't know for sure. I think I would if I were the Saints. Maybe that's a better way to put it. But I just, it's hard to see him being back, especially at that salary. If he does return, I think it'll be on a pay cut. It's just, how much of a pay cut and is Alvin Kamara open to that? I don't know.
Chris Olave showing up today. I know Jeff Nowak with us here had a little interview with him. And the fact that he showed up tells you something about the negotiations, that I think they're closing in on something, because if not, we've seen this in the past. Other guys, man, I'll show up when I get signed. But Olave talking about there's been progress made in the negotiations, you have a feeling that more sooner than later, they're going to come up with a deal long-term for Chris Olave.
Yes, I agree, and I think it would benefit the Saints to get it done sooner than later, given how the wide receiver market has kind of exploded over the last few years. I mean, it wasn't too long ago where we were talking about $20 million being the threshold for your upper tier receivers, and now that number is easily $30 million. Yeah, and so some of the top receivers in that league also make over $35 million. So, you know, I don't know if Chris Olave is going to get that type of money, but I think at the same time, you know, he's probably around that $30 million mark. And if they wait longer, then that number is only going to get up. But I would say, unlike last season where Chris Olave was really, you know, set out to, I really want to prove myself, I really want to have a big year and restore my value, I think he recognizes now that it would be smart of him to sign an extension to get that long-term security. And now it's just a matter of, can him and the Saints agree on a number to actually get that done.
And then the third veteran with the contract situation that we're very interested in seeing how it plays out, Matthew, Cam Jordan. I mean, Steve talks about it all the time. We're so used to seeing him because he's such a football junkie at these OTA practice sessions. And obviously, as he still hasn't signed a contract with the Saints, Mickey Loomis talked about it. You know, I think it was either last week or 2 weeks ago that there is an offer on the table for Cam Jordan. It's just a matter of if he's going to accept it. So you kind of made the prediction with Alvin Kamara. We talked a little bit about Chris Olave, but also Cam Jordan's situation.
Yeah, I think it's, I'll phrase it this way. I think it's telling that in the Saints locker room, they've replaced Demario Davis's locker. I think either Caden Ellis or Isaiah Stallbird is in his locker. He kind of had like a double locker situation. Those spots are now being filled by those guys. But notably, Sam Jordan's locker, still empty, still vacant. Like, it's not being filled, it's not being used. It's almost like they're leaving it alone to wait for him. And I think that's kind of what's happening. I think both sides have some desire to have this go again. Yes, the money is important, but I think also just the role is, can Cam Jordan come back and actually have like a role where he gets on the field? I think there needs to be maybe a little bit of clarity there, but at the same time, like, I just see, like, I don't know. I think if there was a team that really wanted to sign Cam Jordan by now, I think it would have happened. And so the longer this goes, I think the likelihood increases that he's back with the Saints.
Man, I want those double-digit sacks again that he was able to do last year. Because I really believe this, Matt. Nothing wins games more than a pass rush in the fourth quarter. Nothing. Man, if you affect in the quarterback and he can't make that throw downfield, or you in his face and you affect the throw, it's a big difference there. Last question for you. Now the joint practices with three different teams.
Yep.
One here in Metairie against Jacksonville, and then out on the coast against the Rams and the Cowboys. I've heard so many of the coaches, not only with the Saints, but across the league, talk about, man, we value this so much today because of the fact that, you know, the practice is now totally different. I remember Zach Strief telling me, he's like, Mike, Trevor Penning, he got about 20% of the reps as a rookie that I did. He said, and I'm saying, stretching to 20%. Now that you get an opportunity to go up against three different teams here, I think that's quality work there and good evaluation time frame when you go up against three.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely beneficial. I mean, it, I think, also allows you to go heavier in the practices and then not risk as many players in injuries during the games. Like, that's always kind of the twist and pull of the preseason now is, all right, we want to get our guys reps, but we don't want to expose them to, you know, the physical nature of football in the games. And so I think in a controlled setting where it's really competitive, where there's not that level of tackling in practices, I think teams really embrace and like those joint practices. And for the Saints to get three of them in, I think is really beneficial to them.
Matt, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights. Keep up the great work.
I appreciate it anytime.
Thank you, sir. Matt Paris, who does a great job covering the New Orleans Saints for the Times-Picayune, Baton Rouge Morning Advocate.